B-Pod Studios.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Tuesday, July 14th. Felger and Murray here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester, Mass. On location, we broadcast on 98.5 The Sports Hub on the radio side, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston across New England and the country. If you're watching on the simulcast, you just saw a Cam Newton cut from a roundtable discussion with Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham Jr.
No, it was Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, was that Victor Cruz? That's who that was leading that?
Right, wasn't it?
I didn't know who. I actually didn't know who that was, and I know it was Todd Gurley.
Well, Todd Gurley, Odell Beckham, and Vic Cruz, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually thought it was just like a random TV host.
So, I mean, I have no idea. Maybe it is a vet, but I thought his name was Vic Cruz. That's who I assumed it was.
Okay, yeah, you know what? Now that I think about it, now the way he was talking, he sounded like an ex-NFL player. I'll go with Victor
Cruz. Yeah, I mean, okay, so if I'm wrong, someone can correct me. But it's first extensive comments by Cam Newton since signing with the New England Patriots. On the radio side, we couldn't get the computers booted up quick enough for you to hear the cut. So we'll replay it, and we'll play a bunch. And, I want to get to a bunch of thoughts off of this interview because it's extensive. It's an hour long. It is an hour long of, again, Cam Newton, Vic Cruz, Odell Beckham, and Todd Gurley. And I watched pretty much the full hour. And by the way, hi, Maz. How you doing?
Good, you?
Oh, peachy, thank you so much. Just want to make sure that you're dialed in there. And Cam Newton dominates this thing. He dominates it. And it's kind of a mess. And there's kind of a bunch of thoughts of it. And if you haven't seen it, if you're just listening here on the radio side or on the podcast, I invite you to go watch it because the visual is important. You know, Cam Newton is dressed as Cam Newton does, but they're drinking during this thing. They have a decanter of wine there, and they're drinking it. So they're drinking wine, and he's puffing on a big cigar and sort of going off. And again, it's kind of a big mess, the whole interview, and it's the whole tapestry of Cam Newton, good and bad. And, you know, I find it fascinating, but I think we get the full Cam Newton in this interview. And so, before I play a follow-up cut to the one that you heard on the simulcast, what are your takeaways on it, Jim Murray? I'll start with you.
Well, to have that kind of confidence to pull off outfits like that time and again, I wish I had that because I think he looks great. I could never pull that off, but be that as it may, my biggest takeaway is that, you know, his feeling pissed and burned and, you know, left behind, that's real. That's not an act. And I think that you see that here, especially as this thing goes on, he gets loose and he's having some wine and having the cigars you mentioned. I think that is real. There are some, and credit to Vinnie Crouch, our TV producer, who mentioned it in our email exchange, there is a Kyrie Irving thing to Cam Newton, and just in terms of how all over the place he is. Like, there's not a lot of, it's just, it doesn't take much for him to be like, And you're not brevity, man. Like, learn that and concise thoughts and try to keep things to one thing.
He's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. And, you know, Kyrie's more of a pud, and there's more things that it's like he tries to come off as the smartest guy in the room. And there's a tinge of that to Cam Newton. But there is a Kyrie vibe, especially to this interview, that I hadn't really thought of before. And I think that's a good comp.
Maz?
So to me, I come back to the same thing I felt from the very beginning. I want to know, how's all this going to work? And I mean that as I'm fascinated by how this dynamic is going to shake out and work, because you couldn't find a guy who on the field and off is more different than Tom Brady. And look, the Brady at the end was, you know, wasn't that much different than Newton. I mean, there was a lot of self-promotion there and stuff like that. But overall, the Brady experience was one of sort of discipline, structure, you know, buying into the program, team over self, all of that sort of stuff. And Newton feels to me to be far more, you know, outspoken, far more willing to put himself out there. Not to mention the game on the field, which to me is still the biggest, most important part of the whole thing. How do they make it work with this guy with the X's and O's? Because his game is so different to typically how they have operated over the last 20 years. The overall identity and personality fit of Cam Newton and the Patriots, I got to see how this thing is going to work, man, because...
And you feel it more after watching this thing, don't you?
I mean, so again, I haven't seen the whole thing, so I want to say that up front, but... To me, there's no question that they are coming at it from completely opposite ends of the spectrum, and they need to meet in the middle, and I want to see how that's going to work.
So I think you've both nailed it. The best part of it is the motivated Cam Newton, and I think that's the best chance this has to work, and this is the best part of the story. He's an incredibly talented athlete with a lot to prove and is highly motivated, and I think it's real, and I think that part of it comes through, and that's, you know, great. Like, that's the good side. The bad side is he's a handful. He is a handful, man. And he is not, you know, I think you just do have to question the fit. On the field, off the field. I think on the field is going to be easier than off the field. He got a high opinion of himself, which a lot of these guys do.
Beware anyone that refers to themselves in third person as much as someone like Cam Newton.
And some of those guys have worked
here. Man's agrees, Murray.
Some of those guys have worked here, some haven't. And... until it happens, you know, this is not how Belichick would draw it up. But just sticking with the good part of it again. So if you were on TV, you heard the first part of the cut. Here on the radio side, are we ready to play it, Jimmy? Is your computer up? So he follows up on the thing that you heard on the TV side. But this is Cam Newton talking about being passed over by teams and when he heard from the Patriots and, you know, the motivation. So this is Cam Newton 2 for both of you guys.
I'll be the first person to tell you, these last 2 years, I haven't been putting the best film on tape. That's just honest. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, there's other people that's been putting film out there that's getting picked up. And I'm like, whoa.
Okay. Not even picked up. They got the starting job.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm feeling disrespected. Like, I'm feeling like, bro, because every team at one point had to say, okay, fellas, Cam Newton, what do we think? Pass. You feel me? And that's the disrespect that I feel. So it's not like I'm I feel vindicated to some degree, but I'm searching for, I'm going at next all year.
Okay. So again, he says vindicated to some degree that he's picked up by a team like the Patriots, but and I didn't really understand what he meant by that last sentence. It's all about next year. I think
going at next.
Going at next. What does that mean?
NEC. KS next, like a lion goes at the neck.
He's done this
in his Instagram videos too. Like, I'm at your neck.
Oh, at your neck.
Going for the neck.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so there you go.
Going
fine
for the jugular.
Well, same point. I mean, so this is what I mean. This is the best part of it, and I think it's real. He should be angry.
A chip on his shoulder's the size of a mountain.
It should be, and he should feel disrespected. I mean, look,
you know who they're referring to too, right?
When you say what.
The starting quarterback, the film not as good as me. They also referenced in another clip, he's been more injured. That's Teddy Bridgewater.
So I was just going to say, you know, his team fired him and gave Teddy Bridgewater,
who almost lost his leg,
more money. Gave him more money than they were going to give Cam Newton. So exactly. So I think so good. He's referring to that but whoever he's referring to. Philip Rivers in Indianapolis, yep. Or Tyrod Taylor in LA. You know, whatever team is going with a quarterback that you would say you'd rather have Cam Newton. Cam Newton's made a note of it. He's on it, and he wants to prove him wrong. And you add that to his talent and Bill Belichick's thing, and that's the best chance it has to work. And that's the best part of the story, and that comes through in this interview, and it comes through with how he carries himself. And so great. That's all great. That's all great. The downside is that he does have an incredibly high opinion of himself. He's carrying himself as if it's totally his job, which it might be, but this is not exactly how the Patriots generally do things or want to do it. They want it to be a competition. That's also what they're putting out there. And yet Cam Newton is, you know, the Cam Newton hype train has left the station big time, and he's a handful. And it's just, they're going to have to deal with that. And sometimes that works here. Sometimes it doesn't. And I think that's the downside of it as well. And it does come through in this interview. And then there's a whole other thing that I don't think the team is necessarily, you know, has an issue with. But it's going to affect us, and it's going to affect the whole Cam Newton story, and that's the race factor. And I think that's a downside to this, just that whole story and how it's attached to him. And I'll explain that further as we go forward. But I want to play more from this interview. I want your reaction to it. We'll open up the phones at 617-779-0985. When we come back, you'll hear another clip from Cam Newton talking about when he got the call from Belichick and his thoughts about joining the Patriots. It's a good cut as well, and we'll react to that right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Zellner and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Mazzarotti.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
A great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
Man, I got a call and my agent hit me. I was, you know, no cap. I was working out. And he was like, hey, man, you know, we just got an interest from a team. I'm like, okay, cool. Who? And he was like, New England. I said, hold on. Like, how is me and Belichick going to mesh? You know what I'm saying?
Because that was the first thing I thought.
Because it's like perception. But it also, it's like this, too. It's like, okay, like can we not? We have to talk about the elephant in the room. And it's like, you know you who you coming after. You know? And I'm like, yeah, great.
Yeah.
What he was, what he is great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, though, you, Coach McDaniels, you able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now. All right, you know, and I told, hey, you getting a dog? You getting one of these ticked off dogs too? That's like, bro. And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, who we play? That team passed on me. Okay, that team passed on me. They could have game and got me. They hollered at me. I even asked my agents, like, hey, yo, so what's up with? Nah, man, the agent act like he was like, well, we got to wait till it was just all type of, you know, issues. So I'm like, bro, you know what? I'm going to take this time with the COVID. I said, I'm going to commit to myself.
Okay, again, Cam Newton in his conversation on Odell Beckham's website or his production company.
He's got like a YouTube channel. So that's just part of his production company, like most pro athletes have nowadays.
We're going to play the crap out of this today, so I do want to give it proper credit. I don't mean to brush it off. It is Odell Beckham's production company,
yeah,
and Odell Beckham's YouTube channel.
Yep.
So this is where you all can find it. All this coverage is courtesy of them, so we want to thank them for letting us use it, etc., because it's good content. And there's Cam Newton again. So I think you have the good and the bad there. And the good is this team passed on me, that team passed on me. He's you know, taking names. And, you know, he's on a revenge tour, and that can work. You know, when you're highly talented and highly motivated, that's a good combination often. So that's good, and that's great to hear. But the piece of him and the Patriots fit, you know, I mean, I don't think Bill Belichick likes to hear Cam Newton come out and saying, well, when I first got the call, I wonder how's he going to mesh with me? Like, you know, what's the mesh? Like,
I appreciated that honesty. I thought that whole clip, that was the best part of the whole interview. And I appreciated the honesty because he knows, like, he is who he is. Like, he carries himself as a shining star. Like, his career and where he was drafted number one overall, like, you know, his confidence comes from a real place. And Bill Belichick typically doesn't put up with guys like that. So I think it was just a moment of honesty saying, like, I'm not going to change how I am. We know how Bill is.
How do you think Bill feels about it?
Well, I'll tell you how Bill feels about it. What do you mean I have to mesh with you?
I'm not meshing with anybody.
Exactly.
I'm Bill Belichick.
I don't mesh. I'm the screen, dude. Right. You mesh to me.
Well,
otherwise, you filter right through the screen and you end up back on the street. That's what Belichick's thinking. So, again, this is the part of it that I find fascinating. And look, Mike, the question I have with Cam Newton is that guy that we're watching and listening to, Okay. And again, the cameras are on, and okay, there's a certain a performance nature to Cam Newton. There's a theatric element to Cam Newton, which honestly, I don't mind. I find the guy wildly entertaining. I think it's great stuff. What's he like on the field during practice behind the scenes? Like, so this is what I want to know. Now, I know what he looks like on Sundays, and at times I think he's competitive, at times I don't. I mean, that fumble in the Super Bowl that he failed to jump on, I don't know how you live that down. So I'll come back to the same thing. One of the things I said when they first signed him, is he a winner? Is he a winner? And I don't know. I'm not saying, I sort of feel like we're talking about Jason Tatum yesterday. On some level, I'd tell you, like when we first brought this up, I don't remember if it was you or someone else who said, well, he won in college. And I tell you, college doesn't count. Carmelo Anthony won in college. But in the NFL, he's 68-55, 9 seasons in the league, only 3 winning records. So I'd like to think there's an element in Belichick that can tap into Cam and say, hey, Cam, this is what the priority is.
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. Belichick, I mean, he'll make exceptions and he'll cater to what's ever best for the team. We know that. But what does he want? What does he want? He doesn't want the players saying, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to mesh with the coach. Like, the Belichick's not into meshing. He's into
yeah,
show
my
up.
Way and-
yeah, do your job. Here's your assignment. Do it. Like, that's how Belichick would draw it up. And Belichick would draw it up as, no one's bigger than the team, and we're all just shareholders in a team, and it's not about you, and we don't ignore the noise, and we're not about the hype, and we're not about the theatrics. And you watch this Cam Newton thing, and it's all the antithesis of how Bill Belichick would draw it up. Now, again, that doesn't mean it can't work or that he can't be flexible, but this is just that's not his formula. And I just wonder, he has bent and he made it work with some guys, and it hasn't with others. Not everyone. And oh, by the way, it wasn't a good fit at the end for Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski. You know, never mind, like, guys I could mention, like Michael Bennett, it wasn't a good fit, or Adalys Thomas wasn't a good fit, or it just doesn't work with everybody. It was a good fit for a little bit with Moss and Dylan, and then it went the other way. It wasn't a good fit. I mean, they made it work with, who's the defensive end who then went to the Eagles and won?
Chris Long.
Wasn't a good fit. You know, they made it work. They stuck it out for the year, but Chris Long didn't like it here, and he left here as soon as he could. It wasn't a good fit. It's like, So this has the markings of not being a good fit. Let's just be honest with it, okay? Because Cam Newton has a high opinion of himself. He's the show. He carries himself like the show. And that's not typically how the Patriots do it. I think that comes through in this thing.
Yeah, but I do think that Bill also finds himself in a unique situation where he's dealing with a lot of doubt from people like myself and, you know, certainly more prominent people throughout the National Football League and that cover the sport that say, like, no, he can't do it without Brady. So I think he will be willing to give at the most important position, and he's proven that already by bringing the guy in.
How about this whole piece, too? So he says, yeah, it's the elephant in the room, and there's no getting past what he did, you know, referring to Tom Brady and nothing, you know, no even mentioning it, but now McDaniels, he's going to have to call stuff he's never been able to call before. Like, you know, that's Cam Newton saying, I can do different things. I can do better things. I can, I can do more than Tom Brady in some respects, and can Josh McDaniels handle me? It's like, I don't know. How do you think Belichick feels about him already talking like that? I mean, there's probably a reason. The Patriots could easily have an introductory press conference with Cam Newton. It's now easier than ever. He doesn't have to be here. He doesn't have to be at the podium. All he has to do is turn on his computer or his phone, and we have the press conference. And they're not doing it. Why? Because Bill doesn't want him saying crap like that. And not that it's, you know, it ain't state secrets. It's hardly, like, you know, really damning bad stuff. It's just the little stuff that Bill doesn't want to have to deal with, and he doesn't want it out there. That's why we don't have a Cam Newton press conference. We don't have press conferences for anyone. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to have you say it. He doesn't want to have to deal with it. It's not how he draws it up. And now, you know, the ink's not even dry and Cam Newton's doing it. It's like, this is why we got to watch the fit. And it's why I'm still not convinced he's on the team. I'm still not convinced he's even on the team. And he's carrying himself like, you know, he's the guy in his second act. And he's about to prove everybody wrong. I'm not even sure if he gets through training camp.
So I'll tell you, that McDaniels comment initially, I went, oh, wow. Like, why would you say that? Why would you say that? Like, you know, I'm going to offer you a dimension that you didn't have with Tom Brady. And I know he paid Brady a big compliment there when he said it. But I also wonder if there was a conversation there where they said to him, hey, look, we think we're going to be able to do some things we haven't done in the past. Like, I wonder if they said that to him and he's just regurgitating it. I do. I wonder that.
Okay, the fit of Cam Newton and the Patriots. If you've watched this thing or just hearing this, do you have, you know, more questions about it? 617-779-0985. Brett in Shrewsbury, lead us off. Go ahead, Brett.
Hey, gentlemen. There's an old historical, you know, you guys have heard it. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So yes. This is my hopeful optimism. I'm watching Newton talk. And, listen, you know what I mean? I had it on the TV. And he said how he's so angry, this team on the schedule. I called them. They didn't call me. And they said, no, this team on the schedule. So my optimistic reason it will work is Belichick hates all the other teams. Newton hates all the other teams. Yes. Enemy of my enemy, boom.
Boom. I'm with you, Brett. That's it, 100%. That's the best chance it has to work. That's the best part of the story. That's the best part of Newton, how Newton's carrying himself. He's on a revenge tour. The Patriots and Belichick are constantly, you know, Bill's got a beef with everybody. He wants to F everybody. Newton now wants to F everybody. And so you put that together with two really talented guys. You should be in business. You should be in business. And that's the best chance it has to work. And when Cam Newton is going through, you know, we just heard it there. He's going through the Patriots schedule. This team passed on me, that team passed. Every team on every team's schedule passed on you, Cam. But, you don't have to go on the Patriots schedule. All 31 teams didn't want you.
But specifically, right. Chargers, they're on there. They definitely passed on him when he should. That's where he should be. You're going with Tyrod Taylor. Go F yourselves. Vegas Raiders, they go get Marcus Mariota, as you know, who may compete for that job with Derek Carr there. Like, there's two teams that stick out. Man, but wasn't there some rumored interest by Buffalo, too? So there's teams specifically on that schedule that look at me like, yeah, you effed me. You effed me. I'm coming for that neck, like he said.
I mean, the Chargers made the most sense from the beginning, though, for Newton. But look, you talk about the revenge tour. Even the fact that the Patriots are on one all the time, Mike, as you said, Belichick's on a Brady revenge tour. And revenge is a strong word, and it's probably the wrong word, but it's the same principle. He wants to go out there and prove he can win without Brady. So he's got a chip on his shoulder this year, too, maybe more so than any other year, or as much as any other year. And so he can use Cam. Cam can use Bill. They can use each other. It's the elements are there for it to succeed. The question is whether, you know, their egos can mesh.
We've got Tim in the car. Hi, Tim.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. My big question is, you know, I'm glad that Cam's here. I'm glad he's got a chip on his shoulder. You know, what's with the offensive line? And who's Cam going to be throwing the ball to? We don't have any, you know, A1 draft picks. We don't have any guys that are going to be going into the Hall of Fame.
Well,
who is he going to throw to?
So it's unfortunate, you know, you don't think that N'Keal Harry's a high draft pick, or, you know, like, they just draft a receiver in the first round, and no one, and, you know, you still look at the receiver group and say it sucks.
Outside of Steve Smith, who's he really ever had there?
So, but that's, I was just going to say, the good news
Nobody.
Is he's used to, you know, he's used to working with this kind of group in Carolina. He did not have, you know, Olsen, I would say. You know, Greg Olsen, when he was healthy, was the best player that he played with, and then McCaffrey there at the end for you. But other than that, I mean,
specifically at wide receiver, it's Kelvin Benjamin, right. Jericho Cotchery,
Funchess,
Ted Ginn, like, you know, return men and stiffs.
Third receivers. Yeah, third receivers at best is what a lot of those guys were. And Benjamin's another one that was a, you know, first-round pick, if I'm not mistaken, right? And that never really panned out. So, but again, I look at Olsen and say, well, you know, and McCaffrey, tight end and running back. Make it simple for him. And also, let's see what N'Keal Harry is. What if Harry can make some plays? Like, there might, I think there's enough there. And don't forget James White, too. That's another, you know, I think there's enough there. I'm not telling you they're going to put up 35 a game, but I think there's enough there for them to score and win.
I thought there was enough there last year. Again, given their defense and their coaching, not that, you know, they don't have enough there to be one of the best offenses in football, but do they have enough offense to complement their defense and coaching? And yeah, I mean, I think they should. And let's see
if their kicker's any good. Look out,
said Michael Lombardi. So let's see what the coaches come up with, because they do have some pieces. And how do they put it all together with Cam Newton? Jay and Lawrence, your thoughts?
Hello?
Jay, you're on the air.
Oh, all right. Yeah, about this thing, it might be a little racism and some residual from all the nailing, but all these quarterbacks after 4 years, the black quarterbacks, I'm sorry, but they're runners. So as soon as they can't run anymore after 4 years, they're going to become pocket passers.
Yeah, is Patrick Mahomes a runner?
And is Russell Wilson a runner?
No, but Mahomes has the arm.
So, but does Russell Wilson, you know, Russell Wilson's a little guy that runs. I mean, look, I think your point about the running quarterback is valid. I just don't go black-white on that. I think the white running quarterbacks are going to run into the same thing as the black running quarterbacks if they take a beating. And that's going to be hard for them regardless of their skin color. It's going to be how they play. And that's something I got to see with Cam Newton, too. And in terms of the running quarterback and Cam Newton, I think they should run him. And I think he should want to run because I think he should want to run because he wants to have a monster season. And the best chance to have a monster season is to use all of his weapons and all the clubs in his bag. And a big one there is his running game. And he just said it there. He just said, Josh McDaniels, can you run the plays? You know, because there's things I can do that the other guy couldn't. And are you going to, you know, so he's almost, Cam Newton's almost challenging the Patriots. Yeah, run me. So if I'm the Patriots, I run him. If I'm Cam Newton, I want to run because I want to have the biggest year possible to maximize my free agent dollars and all of that. So I hope they do. I hope they unleash him and turn him loose. Turn him loose. You know, it's not like you're preserving him for the long haul, I don't think. But the caller did mention the race card, and so let's get to that because I think that's a factor in the Cam Newton situation here in New England. We'll do that right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So now I'm going to another situation where it's like I get coached by arguably the best coach.
Ever?
Swear.
Arguably.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. And now it's like if we was playing spades, it was like, bro, you know we all had this. Bro, you give me your hand and you take my hand and let's see what you do with it.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Ooh. Yep.
All right, some more from Cam Newton there. And again, I think that's just him talking about the revenge tour and, you know, look at where I landed and I'm going to show you all, which is, again, is the good part of it. It's great. One of the parts that's bad for me is the race element. And I think this affects the team less. And I don't really blame Cam Newton. I don't think he's playing it. But I think that it comes with him. And it's aggravating and it's annoying. And it already bothers me. We got to hear that last caller say the black quarterback? Like, I don't want to hear from that. I don't want to hear that guy. I don't got any use for that. Like, you hear it from that side. And then you get the other side, too. Like, can you criticize Cam Newton without being called a racist?
Well, I mean, look at Richard Sherman's immediate post when he got signed, and we saw what the money was and how it was disrespectful and, like, that there was this underlying theme here. And it's like, well, no, can't it just be that some of these teams are really concerned about the injury history with this guy?
Well, so, I mean, look, this is what we all are going to have to deal with now. It's just fans, media, the whole Cam Newton conversation, and the team to some degree. This was written on ESPN.com, The Undefeated. Martinzi Johnson is the name of the guy that wrote it. And he basically is saying that the fact that Cam Newton had to sign for minimum dollars was in part because he's a black quarterback. He writes, the deal Newton signed with the Patriots and the lack of offers he had from the rest of the pass-happy league demonstrates that Newton and many other black quarterbacks is held to a different standard from white quarterbacks right down to the dollars and cents. He writes, there's no explanation for such a small contract for a once transcendent talent other than a league of mostly white executives viewing Newton as not worth the headache, a reputation Newton has not earned. So do you think the fact that Cam Newton had to sign for a minimum salary and had no takers in the league is racially motivated, Mess?
No, I think it's 100% to do with his health. Again, the guy played two games last year. So he's played two games in what will amount to 2 years by the time he takes the field again. And he's had two shoulder surgeries and a significant foot injury. Mike, again, I know you and I are catching up here as well last week, and not that he's any great shakes. Doug Gottlieb, our favorite guy, Doug Gottlieb, said that there are executives in the NFL who believe that Cam Newton's shoulder is, quote-unquote, shot. His shoulder's done, gone. There are people in the league who believe that. Now, again, I don't know if that's true. I'd like to see what he looks like when he's in a Patriots uniform. I'll make my judgments then. But to me, there was a lot out there about Newton and what a beating he has taken on the field over the first, you know, 9 years of his career. A guy's been hit more than anybody.
Okay, so I think there's a headache factor there, but not because he's black. Because he's a handful or a headache, however you want to put it. Like, he thinks he's the man. He's the show. And some teams don't want to deal with that. Black, white, green, or purple. So it's not a black thing, but is there a little bit of a headache element to Cam Newton? Yes. Okay. Yes. But
there was with Gronk, too.
There's a headache to a lot of
about Baker Mayfield.
Thank you. Thank you. So there's more than just the health or the on-field thing that teams may not want to deal with. But it's, to me, it's not a black thing. It's a headache thing, and but it's mostly health, as Maz just said. But again, Martinzi Johnson and the undefeated, the reason he didn't have an offer and the reason his money is low is because he's a black quarterback.
Does he bring up how Teddy Bridgewater got $63 million for 3 years worth $33 million guaranteed?
It is an impossible claim to make when the highest paid quarterback in the league is black, the second highest paid quarterback in the league is black. There is a third African-American quarterback who right now is negotiating to either be the third highest paid quarterback in the league or make a contract of the average of the top five, and that's Dak Prescott. When there's a fourth African-American quarterback who just won the MVP, who's going to be right here with these guys as soon as he's up. And the fact that Cam Newton lost his job to another African-American quarterback who just signed for $63 million, 33 guaranteed. So what are you talking about?
Another will make a mountain of money in Deshaun Watson with the Houston Texans as well.
Correct. I left him out. Thank you.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to add him too, Murray. Good job.
Thank you. We could easily be in a situation here where by next year, the top five or six highest paid guys in the league are African-American quarterbacks. So what are they like? Why are you playing that card? You know, why do you have to go there? ESPN.com and the undefeated.
Easy clicks in a hypersensitive time.
Well, but you're exacerbating the problem. You're causing us to look at him as a black quarterback. When I think most people don't anymore. Most people don't. They may look at runners or athletic quarterback or whatever, but I think most people have moved past it. Okay, maybe our previous caller that last segment hasn't. So he's on that side. Sucks.
Well, he's a little on the older side, too, I would guess.
Exactly. So there's that whole side of it. But then there's this new side to it that you're forcing me to look at him that way. Well, I don't think, like, how could you claim the money is an issue with him when the highest paid guys in the league are African American? And he wasn't replaced by a white guy. He was replaced by Teddy Bridgewater, who makes more than him. So, and Teddy Bridgewater, I'm sorry, is a borderline starter in the league. It's not like Cam Newton got replaced by some established, no doubt star. Teddy Bridgewater is sort of a fringe starter. Like, I think he's a starter, but he's.
But for the recent years, he's been a career backup overall.
He's been a 1-1A, and they just gave him $20 million a year, 33 guaranteed. So what are you talking about?
Like, yeah, look, I mean, I would tell you that overall it was a bad quarterback market this year. Hell, Brady had trouble getting a market, for crying out loud. You know, Phillip Rivers got the year out of Indianapolis, and I think there are teams that are going to regret not taking a gamble on Newton versus someone like Phillip Rivers, Indy being one of them. You already mentioned the Chargers, but it was a bad quarterback market overall for the most part.
So the whole race thing, and this is just a personal, it's going to annoy the crap out of me. It already has. And it's like, I want to do the show the way we do the show and cover the athletes the way we cover the athletes, which is critically and with a hard edge and no sacred cows. And we've been that way from day one with everybody. And so I want to cover Cam Newton the same way, but I'm a little afraid. I got to be honest. I'm a little afraid, especially after what happened with us last week or the week before, where I couldn't even get on him for the touchdown celebrations.
Oh, it's bananas. It really is.
And so now it's like, what? What am I, you know, I'll give you a little small example here. Tom Brady. Oh, we ragged on him incessantly for how he dressed. The stupid gold-plated Versace thing at the Met Gala and the stupid mock turtlenecks at the press conferences. If Tom Brady wore something stupid, we got on him. And we teased him and we ran the photos and we ripped him for it. I'm afraid to criticize Cam Newton and rip Cam Newton for his stupid hat. Because I'm going to get called a racist. Or Jameel Hill's going to write something about me. Because, like, that's annoying. That's aggravating. So I can rip Tom Brady for his clothes, but not Cam Newton. I mean, that's how I feel. And, like, I'm afraid to do it. And that's just, is that what we're going to be dealing with here for this whole year? Like, God dang it. Cam Newton did not get paid because of that. You can't make that claim when there's money flying around all over the place for some of these other guys. So what are you talking about? And if this is what we're going to have to deal with Cam Newton, that's aggravating. That's aggravating. I mean, we can rip, you know, whoever. We rip Brady to shreds or Belichick or, all the years that, over the years with Tuca or Claude or you name it.
I mean, we referred to Bill as boobs out on the beach last summer.
And boobs out in Bermuda. Yeah.
So we can criticize, we can rag on these guys' appearance or how they talk or how they walk or everything. The whole spectrum of it is on the table. But on Cam Newton, it's not, because we got to go easy. Like, I don't know. That to me sort of defeats the purpose, I think. I don't know. So I know I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. It's just an extension of it. But that undefeated thing got me going. It's like, how can you make the claim that the contract's a money thing when the highest paid guy in the league's African American, the second highest paid guy in the league's African American, there's a guy negotiating in Dallas, the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys in Texas, is African-American, is now negotiating to either be the third highest paid guy in the game or the fifth highest paid guy in the game. The reigning MVP is about to be the third or fourth highest paid guy in the game. The guy in Houston's about to, when by the time we get to next year, the top five or six highest paid guys in the league could very easily be African-Americans. Never mind, the quarterback that took Cam Newton's job is African-American and they paid him more than Cam Newton. So what are we talking about here? I don't want to look at his race. I don't want to look at the color. So stop asking me to. There's my rant on that. We'll get back to. Oh, he did have this whole conversation, so he had he had answers for everything. COVID, he's got a big answer on COVID. They did hit on and a lot of it on the Black Lives Matter movement and that thing. You'll hear a clip about Cam Newton on that, and then we'll get to your calls.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doesn't know Felger and Mass.
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
A lot of things have been getting exposed, and I even go back to where I'm from. Like, me being from Atlanta, Georgia, by way of College Park, the only time I seen a Caucasian person was in a position of power. Mm-hmm. The police officer, the teacher, the principal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went to a predominantly all-black school, and I knew black all the way up until college, until I went to a Division I school. Like now, but you're in question now. It's like, well, we don't have no articulate coaches that know the game of football that's black. Mm-hmm. We don't got no rich dudes that can own a team that's black. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, now how much of this have been, like, people have been getting boycotted or black, you know, blackball behind the scenes to avoid that happening. And I think the things that makes this so impactful is it's exposing a lot. And that's all we wanted.
Yeah.
You can't hide no more. Even the little slick sneak dissing that, you know, a lot of players may have said, a lot of people may have said, like, the Karens are coming out, you know, more than ever now.
100%.
It's just like
100%.
And it's almost to say, like, you know, we just want our just due and, like, the right. You shouldn't go off of, like, okay, how he look. You know what I'm saying? Because I do believe in this premise. Just like love, hatred, racism, sexism, any type of grouping of any type of sort is taught. Mm-hmm. I'm responsible for 7 children, right? So it's my job as their parent to instill in them, like, if he's your friend, he's your friend, no matter what he looks like.
So again, Cam Newton with the conversation with Odell Beckham, and a lot of it was on Black Lives Matter and social justice and all that, and that's all good. And, you know, to Cam Newton's credit, I don't think he's playing the card. you know, that I didn't get a job because I'm a black quarterback. I haven't heard him say that. I don't even think he's alluding to it. I don't think that that's anywhere in his commentary. You know, he's pissed that teams passed on him because teams thought that he was old or beat up or not good anymore, and they left him to die. But he doesn't do the black quarterback thing. That's not him. That's others taking it up for him. And I don't think he's even asking for it. I mean, I haven't heard him ask for it, and I don't think that he thinks that that's what it is, because it's not. And so that's not Cam Newton's problem, but it's the whole thing that comes with him. And the team certainly can handle it, so maybe it's just more for us that you got to sort of deal with that conversation, which always is, you know, grating to begin with. You know, the race conversation to me on sports radio is just a bug. And it's like, you know, he's not Colin Kaepernick, but he's going to bring some of that conversation, because I think people have sort of put him in that category, don't you think? The undefeated just did, you know, so I think he's going to come with that sort of commentary and those discussion points, which bug the crap out of me, frankly.
Well, look, Mike, he's outspoken. I mean, and again, he has every right to be outspoken. I'm not second guessing that part of it. I just think there are a lot of people that can't handle that. And so it becomes part of the conversation with him. At the end of the day, I'll tell you this much. Here's my question or questions. Can it work here, and can he win? That's really, to me, that's, now again, all the other stuff to me, and I'm not telling you it's not going to be a part of the conversation, because it is. But at the end of the day, can he and Belichick work together, and can Newton win? Can Newton win consistently? 9 years in the league, 3 winning seasons. And he's an immense talent. He's a huge personality, gigantic personality. And so, honestly, I think a lot of that was gonna grind on people no matter what. So,
Well, Maz, I think that's what the vast majority of people care about. The vast majority. So when anyone on either side brings up the other stuff, it's like...
It irritates you. I get it.
Oh, God. Dang. All right. So anyway, there's that. You're back to your calls. Carlos in the car on Cam Newton and Belichick. Go ahead, Carlos.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I love listening to you guys. I believe Belichick can win with this guy, Cam. You know, reason being is because he's a different kind of quarterback. He's very vertical. He moves. He's fast. If you look at back in the day, Bledsoe and Brady, they're not really too fast. The guys got lead feet, you know, but they have great arms. You can't take their arms away from them. And I understand that Brady's been in the system for so long. He knows the system. And also, the guys that beat us totally out our socks back in the day and recently, you know, in other seasons, were Vrabel and other teammates that were on our team. Those are the only times that we ever got beat out of our socks.
So, Carlos.
So now, if Belichick picks up this guy, Cam, which he can be very versatile.
Carlos, let me just stop you. The on-the-field stuff is going to be great. And does Belichick want a guy who can move more, and he's going to use him in movement? And how is he going to scheme that up? And all that is great. Good stuff, and we're going to watch it in real time. And that's obviously the most fascinating part of the whole thing. My question on the field is, can Cam Newton be accurate enough to satisfy Bill Belichick? Bill Belichick, as we've seen from his scouting reports going back to Cleveland, cares more about your accuracy than your arm strength or the ability to put the ball all over the field. Or, you know, Bill's always sort of, he has always valued the guy who can hit the running back out of the backfield in stride, 3 yards away on his outside shoulder so he doesn't have to break stride. He'll take that guy over the quarterback who can, quote unquote, make all the throws. Never mind a guy who's barely 60% completion percentage. So from an accuracy standpoint, how do they scheme around it or get him to be more efficient like Bill Belichick wants while, you know, still being more dynamic and using his legs? Like, that's all going to be fun to watch, Maz.
Okay, so Mike, this is the part of it I focus on, because I go back to that 1 year that we've talked about when it was McCaffrey's second season and North Turner was the offensive coordinator. Newton completed 68% of his passes that year. So if Norv Turner can do it, you're telling me Bill Belichick can't figure it out?
Yeah.
Like, so, and look, if Belichick can't, then shame on him. That should be an easy one. So, and when I say easy, again, it was back in Titans. Now, to the personnel that Carolina had those two positions, I tell you that they're closer at running back with James White as part of the equation. And even Burkhead, if you want to throw him in there in terms of his ability to catch the ball. I'm no Burkhead fan, but I know he can catch a pass. Okay? So, like, I would say that it is incumbent upon the Patriots to figure that out. Like, I'd put the onus on that one. I'd put that on Belichick. Bill is able to identify what his players do well and what they don't, and then amplify those strengths. So you know what? Cam Newton can clearly throw to a running back because he was 86% to Christian McCaffrey in 2018. So figure it out.
Rick in Duxbury on the Cam Newton contract. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, no, just one quick thing. The thing that's so galling about insinuating that Newton can get paid because he's black, you know, or do we sort of compare his ineffectiveness with somebody like Colin Kaepernick, and the same people are ranting and raving that Kaepernick should be playing in the league again. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks for your time.
So I don't quite get the analogy. To me, I just think it's crazy to say he's not getting paid because he's black when the highest paid guys in the league are black. And there's even marginal guys. You know, I mentioned Teddy Bridgewater before, who just came off a $7 million contract as a flat backup, as signed as a backup, into camp as a backup, $7 million.
One of the highest paid backups in the league, if not the highest paid.
Maybe the highest ever. I mean, I don't know. Who's ever made that much as a backup? And then Murray mentioned off the air, Jacoby Brissett. Make $11 million a year?
It was around 10.
Well, yeah, $11 million sign bonus and a two-year $30 million deal with the Colts.
So what are we talking about? Right. So what are we talking about? If a team values you black, white, green, purple, paisley with yellow polka dots, you get paid. Like, to me, I do feel like the league has, for the most part, moved past that. For the large part, has moved past that. And
I think they're way past it. Way past it. And the other thing is, I draw no real connection between Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick, because to me, they're two totally different cases. Kaepernick didn't really show a willingness necessarily to play in the league. And Newton's thing to me is all based on health. I think it's that simple with Cam Newton. I think it's all about his health and the number of hits he's taken at his age. He's 31, right? I don't know. Maybe he's just turned 32. He's 30. Doesn't feel like he's like 36. Does
yes,
it feel
exactly.
like he's been
yes.
in the league forever?
Yes. I don't think it's all health. Like, as I mentioned before, you know, maybe there is a off-field component, but it's not based on color. It's based on, you know, he's going to carry himself as the number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner. He's the man. He's the show. And maybe some teams don't want that for a guy who's going to compete or maybe back up, or so that just doesn't fit the team. But that's not a color thing. But I do think people put him on the Newton or put Newton on the Kaepernick you know, in the same realm as, because they look at it as, how is this guy not have a job and how is he being paid like this? So I think they, you know, say he's being blackballed like Kaepernick's being blackballed, and they sort of put him in the same conversation, which I don't think he belongs. He's a vastly superior player, you know, never mind anything else. We're going to continue with this again. More Cam Newton cuts from his conversation with Odell Beckham on his YouTube channel whenever this was. I think it was taped in the last day or two.
It had to have been.
Yeah. Did it drop last night, Murray? When did you see it first?
I got it sent to me early this morning, so within last night and today. Yeah.
Okay. I think it's fascinating stuff. And again, the best part of it is how bitter he is at the Carolina Panthers, how he's taken names for the teams that have passed on him in the league, and how he's going to be on a revenge tour and all of that. Like, that bodes well for you. So you'll hear a cut comeback of him talking about how he got released by the Panthers. We'll take your calls, and we'll do it all after Murray's 90-second update. Here, there are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.